Good evening, everyone, and welcome to our evening service. We welcome once again George Barney to lead the service this evening. Notice as this morning, on Tuesday, we have little fishes in the morning from 10 until 12. So any parents with young children will be welcome to attend that. And then on Tuesday night, we have Road to Recovery at 7 p.m. David was just informing me that I think the prayer meeting message says prayer meeting at 6. I don't know how we managed to get that. 7:30 as usual on Wednesday night for the prayer meeting, both here and on Zoom. And then services next Sunday will both be taken, God willing, by George once more. And if you have a pastoral need during the time that the minister is away, please get in contact with one of the elders first of all, but also Reverend Ian McRitchie from Graver is available to help if cover is needed there. So these are all the intimations, and I'll ask George now to come and lead us in worship.
Our call to worship this evening is from Psalm 119 at verse 103. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. We're going to sing our first item of worship. We're going to sing in Gaelic, and we're going to sing from Psalm 23. Psalm 23, verses 1 to 3. The Lord's my shepherd, I'll not want. He makes me down to lie. In pastures green he leadeth me, the quiet waters by.
Thank you.
Lily McSween is now going to lead us in a Gaelic prayer.
Ye gras for vianetjes in tangel, son of harem, how with the vulloch of or nulle, Gavichin a kelnich heel, Gavikur a goot, the nyskrasho, fisker, the harp at nigh, vashin tangel, Gavil kalagakin for a villain jeeshugus and truth, crying at anam, Gavil one a shan, sashin yakuni, Groshin kahunak in mochel, lahadak the spirit. Gar trorach yn ar nyrwyr, gofi ymolwg yn dynam sian, has cywm gachwyl anam. Ygys yn dynam sian galwb gach glwyn, ygys gan adich gach chaga. Molwg wyt yr son yn dhosgel, ac wyd yn ceil gwein gwsale. Med ni nich yn yr ein tioed ar son, an y nias y cdeus. Ys an gydanig yn y colanig, na hemesid. Gyda gafedd ffein ar crwgys ar jalaf, Kyaga seek vash piaki, the Huisha grunge kavi talk of Jerusalem, Agis kavi pasach in a shan, feedan, and a room agis on a night in your eden. As in your corny crows sailor of the Arkriachan, a pianachan and hushgal, Mahinus fiakian, Agis galu pish on the behemadani. As in Tanger could do, Maravashin is showing call of the Kayla, could do and Buach of the mine, Skavil Tror of Shane, the Cloyne of Ray, Sashinukuni Marshani Ye, Krushinitian of Kahunak in Fame Va, Tila Horamagus Tilanus Lanti, or High Kinjach, Uf Bedunya, Kvele, Marietta Hiri Univik. Agus na yeish an a heitas in chalu. Agus na gwrna I grosin mor sain. Edim aadun a mwyntid. Haag lyht agus a gachianoch na hemesid. Agus na gwrna I grot a vianoch gais saramrach agin tosgel. Iagin iad a ladiw na ar misg. Agus na taingal is on a hula. Aadun gwrna mach. Gwvi saramrach ag ma himeichion a nichin sain. Haag adid a madanoch. Bianiche, Guinule, Scrosinule, Eder Trorche, Jungsi, Iesekrius, Nasmogis, Nasmoa, Agiskebischen, Eder Nuvachele Tidin, Aschenikuni, Noch, Gersonne Hulle, Heid Bianten, Tjacherein, Groot Horst, Iat Ulle, Gwifen Jolus, Ed Iesekrius, Merlanier, Sheshener Nuni, Gesar Turach, Begint Hulle, Agus an tuilgad an tráirach a gobi féin, aine, féin, israchal, persante, ed an tíise an a hánig, a chum sláinte hod seachet, da fiachgich mar a sin iawn. Crúich an a dhéag tíaglán, a nuagich spirit ceart an tuvis dayin, agus a sin a cúrni ar son a húla ed an aich anóch ka fémach ed a chúdiachí. Nu hula ha tol trog laun toroche skale vaas. Nu hula ha fulung an an hospital. Nu hula an a shenna uus an a tain kurum. Gro kola duus grog an kutiachu. Agus gro mali du tolorok. Agus de vahte trein gro achge. Koenige lukke vro an gro mali duus gro. Ganyashtachu tainachu an doches. Agus a nyashtachu an ktetjuf. As in your corny is a no creakidi suas, as in your geary crow tukal, damesk mointed, and then be feared yokul, agus a homo suas, over and hushkel nar misk, no and a pilorok ornia, agus as in your corny is a nope, and the yana with the tower gashohin, kavikinsha, the go creat cheat, kvel slani around hapio. Agus a cumas och eith charnu chum na céim a saitimach. Mo sain a yeb I maile dishgach dis an ágri agus dis an ús. Sna hula ha fulung, sna hula a hadi bro, na sin a gúrni eith an son, gro maile dúas, cainich, eith an yoglis farawili eith a gyr lenavins, sa sin a lieb a mór an mi eith an diaglis eith Amen.
We are going to sing our second praise. We're going to sing from Psalm 63, verses 1 to 8. Psalm 63, Lord, thee my God, I'll early seek. My soul doth thirst for thee. My flesh longs in a dry, parched land, wherein no waters be. Let's stand to sing if we can.
Lord, thee, my God, I
Let's read together from God's word as we find it in Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3 and at verse 14. Revelation chapter 3 and at verse 14. To the angel of the church in Laodicea write, these are the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation. I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I am about to spit you out of my mouth. You say, I am rich, I have acquired wealth, and do not need a thing. But you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, so that you can become rich, and white clothes to wear, so that you can cover your shameful nakedness, and salve to put on your eyes, so that you can see. Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. So be earnest and repent. Here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me. To the one who is victorious, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I was victorious and sat down with my Father on his throne. Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Amen. I just want to have a very quick word with the young people who are gathered, of whatever age, and whether you consider yourself young or not. I think most of us do, don't we? And certainly I do until I look in the mirror. My title for this little talk is, What Can One Person Do? And you often think to yourself, what can one person do? For example, what can I do? We might say to ourselves. One person, maybe one Christian in your workplace, maybe one Christian in your family, maybe one Christian in your whole community. What can one person do? Well, in the 1950s, there was an American housewife by the name of Dorothea Clapp. And she was a woman who took prayer seriously. And she decided that she was going to pray for students at her local high school. And just by the way, do you know this type of ministry is still going on in Scotland today? There are people who are praying for the students at their local high school and praying for ways they could get in. So she started to pray, and her prayer was that God would touch the world through the lives of young people at this local high school. It was quite an ambitious prayer. She got a chance to give a gospel to a boy at the school, a boy in one of the senior years. He became a Christian through reading the gospel. And he was one of these guys who would be able to stand at assembly and speak about his faith. And through him, quite a number of people at his school became Christians. And at college, when they got to the college stage, he and his two of his friends began to pray. And they realized that there was a real spiritual need in Mexico. So they took their summer holidays from college and they went to Mexico and spread the gospel to anyone who would listen. The following summer, they went to Europe. And that went on summer after summer after summer. By 1963, 2,000 Christians were visiting Europe. This started, this guy who started this, now in his early 80s, he went on to form an organization called Operation Mobilization, which many of you will have heard of, and possibly some of you continue to pray for, sometimes just known as OM. They now have 3,000 workers all around the world, and they're bringing the gospel to millions of people. They even get the chance to speak to presidents and so many people in authority. The question at the beginning is, what can one person do? And we often think that, what can I do? What can you do as an individual? Well, the first thing is we've got to come to Christ. We've got to realize that when he was dying on the cross, that this was for you and it was for me. So we come to him, we dedicate our lives to him, and we are willing to go wherever he asks us to go, whether it's locally or to the other side of the world. And under God and praying to him, we have no idea just where that could lead. We're going to sing our third praise now, and we're going to sing the song, O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder, O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder, consider all thy works thy hand hath made, then sings my soul, my Saviour God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Let's stand if we can to sing to God's praise.
Lord my God,
when I in awesome wonder, consider all the works I hand have made. I see the stars, I hear the mighty thunder, the power to earth.
If you have your Bible to hand, please open it again at Revelation 3 from verse 14. I've entitled this sermon, The Lively Church in Laodicea? Laodicea is now in southwest Turkey. And it's one of these popular places, not Laodicea, but southwest Turkey, is a place where lots of people go on holiday these days. But back in the day, it was the wealthiest and most important commercial centre of its day. There were three main industries. There was banking, textiles, and their textiles were mainly concentrating on their black wool, and there was their medicine, especially their eye salve. They had a downside in Laodicea. And I suppose many places that we love and go to on holiday, they have their upsides, but they also have their downsides. Well, Laodicea did. Their water supply was the downside. Their water supply was both lukewarm and dirty. And it tasted awful. Whereas nearby Hierapolis had medicinal hot springs, and nearby Colossae had beautiful, cold, refreshing mountain streams. Laodicea was one of the seven churches that's written about at the start of the book of Revelation. And just a reminder that when we come to God's word, whenever we come to God's word, three things to think about. And the same again tonight. What do we learn about God? God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. What do we learn about the people we're dealing with? The people tonight in Laodicea. And what do we learn about ourselves? 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16 gives us a reminder about all Scripture. All Scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuke, correction, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. In six of the seven letters that are written, there is something positive. For example, to the church in Ephesus that we read about in Revelation 2 and at verse 2, the Lord says, I know your deeds, your hard work, and your perseverance. And to the church in Pergamum in Revelation 2 and at verse 13, he says, I know where you live, where Satan has his throne, yet you remain true to my name. But if we look at verses 15 and 16 in our chapter, we see what an indictment at Laodicea. Verses 15 and 16. I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I am about to spit you out of my mouth. There was nothing encouraging there. And these people, when Jesus speaks about lukewarmness, oh boy, they knew about lukewarmness from their water. And can you imagine lukewarm water in a Mediterranean climate? And Jesus obviously sees lukewarmness as worse than being either hot or cold. Cold are people who are hostile to the gospel. And then when we look at other places in the New Testament and we look at Saul, who became the Apostle Paul, we realize, boy, was he cold to the gospel. He was cold to the point of freezing and anti every Christian, and he did his best to wipe out Christianity. And what about people that are hot? People who are on fire for the Lord. Isn't it good when we meet brand new Christians? They've just come to Christ, and they are over the moon with their faith. And then Jesus says to this church, I will spit you out of my mouth. Now, I don't speak Greek, but from what I read about the word spit in Greek, it's a weak word. Now, spitting is never seen. My mother was always against any spitting that was done. Not that I did an awful lot. But this is a weak word, because the thrust of this word, I will spew you out of my mouth. Elizabeth and I were living in Germany for a year, and we were often invited to people's houses in Germany, and we had Germans make wonderful coffee, as well as making wonderful other things. Their cakes are just legendary. And so we would be invited to many places, and we would try to have as many people back to our little pokey flat as we possibly could. But the first night we were having Germans back for coffee, she was a bit nervous because she knew she couldn't quite make the coffee they did. She was so nervous that when they asked for sugar, she put salt in their coffee. And you can imagine they had no choice but to spew this out of their mouths. So you just get the feeling of that. Now, talking about what people are like, how hot they are when they know Jesus for the very first time. What about, do you remember the first time you fell in love? Now, some of us, it was a long time ago. But do you remember that first time you fell in love? I see one or two people smile thinking about it. When you saw somebody and you think, this is going to be my other half for the rest of my life. Or perhaps you're not in that position, but it's that best friend. You know, that person who just makes you feel good. And you just love being in their company. You don't have to be in love with them, but you just absolutely adore them. And then we go back to the first time we fell in love with Jesus. That time when we came, for me it was the 1970s. And when I came to know Jesus, and it all seemed to me at the beginning like a mistake. I wasn't meant to be in a church. I had never any interest in going to a church. But I happened to be there that night. And I fell in love with this Jesus. But we, whoever we are, and it happens in relationships that we can become lukewarm. And as Christians, we can become lukewarm as individuals. And we can become lukewarm as a congregation. We can become wishy-washy, mealy-mouthed, evangelifish. And yet, if that's happening to us, and it does from time to time, it certainly happened to me over my Christian life, we can pretend. We can fool others. We can go to all the right meetings. We can go through the motions. And sometimes we don't just fool ourselves, but we fool others. But we cannot fool God. Isn't it interesting in verse 15 what Jesus says there? Verse 15, I know your deeds, he says. It's as if the Lord Jesus is saying to us, I know you inside out. Are we playing at church? It's so easy to do. Isn't it play at church? We can so easily become hypocrites. We can wear that mask that the actors wore back in the day. What is the church? Now, so often we think of the church as the building. Now, this is a fabulous building. When you think a pub made into a church, this is a fabulous transformation. But what is the church? And we realize from Scripture that the church is not a building. The church is the people of God, the worshipping people of God. And wherever we worship, whether it's in a building like this, or whether it's in a home the way they used to do in days gone by. Notice too that the Laodiceans are deceived about themselves. Look at what we read in verse 17. In verse 17, we read this. I am rich. I have acquired wealth and do not need a thing. That's what they think of themselves. They think of themselves as rich, 20/20 vision, beautifully dressed. And then Jesus says to them, no, you are as poor as a church mouse. You are as blind as a bat, and you are stark naked. Now, what leads them to the conclusion that they're rich and they're beautifully dressed and they've got this 20/20 vision? It's what we said at the beginning. It's their banking industry that they're famous for, their textiles and their medical advances. But there's a degree here of spiritual arrogance. And oh, to see ourselves as others see us, and to see ourselves as God sees us. When the people of God were about to enter the promised land, way back in Deuteronomy, we read that they were told, they were warned by God, that God said to them, look, I have been looking after you. You have trusted me all through these desert years. For 40 years, I have provided for you. There's been no Tesco lorries arriving to give you food. I brought the manna to you out of the sky. I brought the food for you. I brought the quail to you. I brought the water out of the rock. For 40 years, you had to trust me because there was no other option. But now, as they were about to go into the promised land, the land, as I was saying this morning, that God had promised all these years back, as they were about to go in there, he was warning them, you're going to build your houses. You are going to eat fruit that you have not grown. And you are going to have this land flowing with milk and honey. And you are going to forget all about me. Now, there are many of us here that we would say, compared when how we grew up, if, especially if you're an older person, if you're my age or beyond, you would have grown up with next to nothing. The life would have been a hand-to-mouth existence. And where food, there's enough to feed the family, but that's it. There's very little else. And holidays were going to your grannies. And here we are now, and so many of us have that wealth, haven't we? We're far richer than we could ever have dreamt of. Now, richness, of course, doesn't stop us from being a keen Christian. But we've got to watch that we don't depend upon our riches or anything else that would hold us back from being God's follower. And isn't it wonderful to know that there's a way back, as we read in verse 18 as the passage goes on. Verse 18, the Lord says, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire so that you can become rich, and white clothes to wear so that you can cover your shameful nakedness, and salve to put on your eyes so that you can see. Buy riches from Christ. The riches that only he can offer. Isn't it amazing? It's nothing to do with the money. It's nothing to do with the wealth. But it's the kind of things that Christ alone can give us. He can give us that forgiveness from sin. He gives us that salvation. He gives us that purity that we were talking about this morning to the boys and girls. He gives us that confidence that we can go into the future with him. And it gives us the confidence that at the end of the day, when we're in Christ, that we will go to be with him. We realize, and many of us realize, that riches can be stolen. Our shares can go down the tubes. Other riches need to be left behind at the end of the day. We can't take them with us. And Job reminds us, doesn't he? He says, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return. Reminding us, we came to this life with absolutely nothing, and we will leave with absolutely nothing. Jesus is asking us to put on the garments of righteousness. Our own garments are described in Isaiah as filthy rags. The only way we can cover our sin, we try in many ways to cover our sin, to lead a better life, New Year resolutions, but the only way we can cover our sin is to be in Christ. There is a rebuke in verse 19, but then it goes on to say why Jesus is rebuking us. Verse 19, those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. And isn't it amazing that God loves us so much that he does rebuke us? And like God is our father. And like any father, they rebuke their children. They have to, for their own good. If they don't rebuke them, they are not doing their parental duty. Listen to what we read back in Hebrews chapter 12 about discipline. Hebrews 12, and at the end of verse 5. Hebrews 12, end of verse 5. My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines the one he loves, and he chastens everyone he accepts as his son. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as his children. For what children are not disciplined by their father? If you are not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are not legitimate, not true sons and daughters at all. Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of spirits and live? They disciplined us for a little while as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good, in order that we may share in his holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Therefore, strengthen your feeble arms and weak knees. Make level paths for your feet, so that the lame may not be disabled, but rather healed. The discipline of God, and disciplining us for his own good, for our own good. He wants the very best for us. And it's to lead us to repentance. If we have strayed from him in any way, it's to lead us to repentance, either individually, as a church, as a nation, as the world. In verse 20, there is that wonderful image of the knocking at the door. Verse 20, here I am, says Jesus. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person, and they with me. Jesus could so easily force his way in. But he could force his way into any one of our lives, but he chooses not to. He wants to be invited in, into our individual lives, into our church, his church. And he wants to be first in our lives and in the life of his church. He has always wanted to have fellowship with his people. Do you remember back in Genesis 3, just before Adam and Eve sinned, they had this perfect fellowship with God. Isn't that amazing? It's so hard for us as human beings, as sinners, to get our heads round that they had perfect fellowship with God. And then, because of disobeying God, they had to hide from him. And of course, then the Lord came to look for them in the garden. Of course, he knew perfectly well where they were. But he just said, "Where are you?" Isn't it encouraging, this church here in North Harris? Isn't it incredibly encouraging that here on this site, instead of a pub, that there is a church? There is a group of people who love the Lord Jesus, who are worshipping him, and their lives are witnessing for him wherever they are and wherever they go. At their work, in their school, at their university, in their community, among their friends, wherever they are and wherever they go. It's incredibly encouraging. But none of us, and no church, can rest on its laurels. How we've got to be very careful that we don't stray. And it's so easy. No wonder the Bible refers to us as sheep. Those of us, you know, living on this island, many of you having sheep, you know far better than I do that sheep stray, and boy, do they stray. But we too can stray so, so easily. And we've got to watch. We've got to watch as individuals. We've got to watch as a church. There was a very good going evangelical Church of Scotland in Inverness. And it either has closed or it's about to close. So there was a church that we thought was there forever, right in the centre of Inverness, a tremendous witness to anyone passing. And now that building will be there, and who knows, before much time, it may well become a pub, it may become a restaurant or somebody's house. Who knows what's going to happen? We've really got to watch. And we've got to, each one of us, we've got to step up to the plate. There are things requiring done in the Lord's service, whether here in the church or in the community or in our Christian lives, that perhaps we've been thinking about for some time, and it's maybe time for us to step up to the plate. And here we are in 2022. We are rich. And if there's anything wrong with our eyesight, we get help with spectacles and laser surgery. And also, we can often count on our own righteousness. But we've got to be so careful. We've got to be so careful. The warning comes to us from the Lord himself. It's interesting today that there is no church whatsoever in Laodicea. There is no church there. It's gone. The Lord was warning them. And they, at some point, ignored the warning. And the church has gone. Revelation 3:20 is a very, very special verse in my own life, where the Lord says, "Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him, and they with me." As I was saying earlier on, I was in a church in Glasgow, a big church. There must have been 500-600 people in the church. And the minister was just speaking from that one verse. I've read in commentaries over the years that verse is not really referring to individuals. It's referring to a church. But that particular night, that was the way the Lord spoke to me and drew me. But that verse from Revelation 3:20, when it was said and it was read out, and it was time and time again, "Here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person, and they with me. And that was the night. That was the night that I became a Christian. I wonder for you, are you in this process of coming to Jesus for the very first time? And perhaps tonight that verse is for you to know that Jesus is knocking at your door, will not force his way in, but would love to be invited. Or perhaps it's for you to come back. Because as we were saying early on, it's so easy for any one of us to stray. Nobody might know we've strayed. You know. But nobody else might know. But God knows. And here is the Lord in his goodness and his kindness, and he's wanting us to come back. Don't we see that when Jesus did the parable of the prodigal son? And I just love that image of the father just standing there waiting for that boy to come back. I just get the impression, it doesn't say it anywhere in the Bible, but I get the impression that father would have gone to that door or that window or whatever they had in those days, time and time again, wondering, waiting, would he come back? And it's the same with our Lord, wondering, would we come back? And inviting us back. And as the father was in that story, over the moon to have his son back. Or is it time for us to be more committed to him? For our commitment that we would learn more and more to love the Lord our God with our heart, our soul, our mind, with everything that we've got. May that be true for each one of us. Amen. Let's sing our final song, Dear Lord and Father of Mankind. Forgive our foolish ways, reclothe us in our rightful mind, in purer lives thy service find, in deeper reverence praise. Let's stand to sing God's praise if we can.
Dear Lord and Father of Mankind,
Now may the love of God the Father, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, now and forevermore. Amen.